So just in this short passage of the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, and verses 12 to 17, but I'm going to pick on a little bit at the end of verse 13. And we're going to think about what Paul was, what happened to him, and what he became. But those words at the end of verse 13, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now you will all know that ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's why all these big firms employ lawyers, because the law is so complicated in financial matters and employment matters that they need to be up to date, but they could never plead in court that they didn't know. And it has never been the case, I remember my mother saying to me, ignorance of the law is no excuse if I did something wrong. Of course, it isn't. If ignorance of the law was an excuse, think of how many people would have got away with doing what they did. If ignorance of the law was an excuse in the sight of Christ, how many people would have carried on doing the things that they did instead of being living in the fear of the Lord? Ignorance is no excuse. So when you come to these words where Paul says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, we've got a little bit of thinking to do. Now, what did he do ignorantly in unbelief? Well, he says he was a blasphemer. Well, that would get you killed among Muslims today straight away, wouldn't it? I've always thought that Christianity shows its superiority over Islamic faith in this matter of blasphemy. Jesus says, you can blaspheme against me and it's forgivable. Not against the Holy Spirit, because then you're blaspheming against the only one who can save you, who can bring salvation apart, who can point to Christ's blessing. But if we blaspheme against Christ, he said, it is forgivable, but it isn't in the Muslim way. But Paul was before a blasphemer, by which he meant that he said all sorts of horrible things about the Lord Jesus Christ, who made Christians that he brought to the synagogues and to the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem to be judged. He made them blaspheme, probably by torture, but he made them blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus. They didn't want to say so, but their backs were twisted, their knees were hurt, whatever they did, they gave way under that pressure, and they blasphemed the name of the Lord. But I didn't mean it, just under the sheer pressure. So Paul was a blasphemer. Not only when he was dealing with Christians, but in himself. He also was a persecutor. He wasn't content with just disagreeing what others thought. He actively pursued those who held the opposite view. He went for them. He asked for letters to go to various synagogues and various places with a letter from the Sanhedrin saying, give this man every facility that anyone in your synagogue who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, give them up to him to bring them for judgment at the Sanhedrin. He was a persecutor. He went after his people. And he was injurious. He hurt people. He injured them. He caused them to be ill-treated. He hurt them by what he said about the Lord Jesus. He was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, and he was injurious. Paul knew and loved the law, and he knew that the law said, thou shalt not kill. But he thought he was doing God's service when he killed Christians. He thought that didn't count. He was injurious. Injurious to himself. injurious to his own soul. And in his heart of hearts, there's every reason to think he was very uncomfortable about what was going on, about all the things he was doing, bearing in mind that he knew what the scripture said about thou shalt not kill. But he also felt that if they said that Jesus was the Christ, it was a false claim, but he got it wrong. And that means partly why he could write, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, nothing that we ever do is causal to the work of God. We do not obtain mercy because of anything we did. We do not obtain mercy because we have done these things and we did them ignorantly. That isn't the meaning. The meaning is this, that when the Lord God looked at such a blasphemer as I am, when the Lord God looked upon such a persecutor as I am, when the Lord God looked upon such an injurious wretch as I am, he thought in his heart, if this man doesn't have mercy from me, he stands no chance. To the Lord, you remember you read, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and he's not the only one of whom that is written. It's when the Lord saw him being a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious and whatever else things that he didn't matter. The Lord looked upon him in mercy, having pity on himself. What a wretched condition to be in. What will the future be for Paul if he goes on like this? The love of God was shed abroad in his heart. That was the way in which he obtained mercy, because he was ignorant in his unbelief. The psalmist says, I was ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. A beast doesn't have souls. And people who are, in that sense, not thinking about God virtually, are acting as if they didn't have souls, which of course they do have eternal souls. So there, says Paul, I obtained the mercy from the Lord because I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. So what happened to Paul? Well, he became a believer. He became a Christian and he became a preacher. Mind you, he was sent away for 2 years, not to university, but out into the deserts to meditate. Well, I imagine he went through the whole of the Old Testament and tried to see how it could be applied with the Lord Jesus Christ in mind. And the fruit of that we get in Hebrews, I think, and in Romans. So the Lord Jesus committed to his trust this gospel that he had once so viciously persecuted. The Lord Jesus so turned Paul around. Paul was going nowhere. Paul had a vicious temperament. Paul was argumentative. And the Lord dealt with all these things in order to make him a preacher. And in our lives, we may not be blasphemers, we may not be persecutors, we may not be injurious, and we may not going to be made a minister, but a Christian. Whatever it was that we were before, and only we know our own hearts, whatever thoughts of hatred we had, whatever actions of disobeying the Ten Commandments, like thieving, that we had, whatever we were, the Lord has looked upon us like he looked upon Paul and said to us in great pity, what a chance do they stand if I don't turn him, if I don't change him, if I don't come near to him, if I don't teach him the gospel, if I don't love him or her. Doesn't matter, this is in the scriptures so that we all may know that whatever we've done, much of it not so bad as Paul, but that doesn't matter whether it was good or bad. A sin is a sin. But the Lord looks at us Not in order that we should become ministers necessarily, but to give us mercy. To give us mercy because we were going nowhere but loss. Now, in Paul's case, he says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now I can understand that. I hadn't been converted very long. I was 16 when I was converted, so perhaps I was 18. I don't know. When I felt the call of the Lord to the ministry, it wasn't long after that I read this verse. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It's been so powerful in my life. He counted me faithful before I'd even started. A bit like Job, you know. He knew that Job would not give way, so he could be used against Satan because he wouldn't give way to Satan. Job wouldn't, and he didn't. And he counted me faithful before I'd done the thing. I didn't have any confidence in myself that I was capable of being faithful either. But he counted me. I've always loved the doctrine of imputation. That his Christ's righteousness was counted to me. That his blood was counted to me. I didn't have it naturally. And that this faithfulness of God was counted to me. Well, it's true, even if we're not going into the ministry, he has counted us faithful, given us the grace to continue right to the very end. But he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And I've always valued the love of that. So Paul also says, verse 14, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. There I was, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. There we were with whatever sins we were bringing in our trail. But we obtained mercy because God looked at us. And he there sets forth in verse 14 how. It's the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. It wasn't anything I did. I was doing these horrible things. But the Lord came to me exceedingly abundantly. What did he give me exceeding abundantly? He gave me grace, which was love that I didn't deserve before I ever deserved it while I was still a sinner. And it was abundant with faith and abundant with love. I didn't just believe by the skin of my teeth. I didn't just love Christ. I adored him. I knew there was nothing more wonderful in the world than this. And that's what Paul is saying. I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the Lord dealt with me in grace. So he still does. The Lord deals with us in grace. The Lord deals exceedingly abundantly with his grace and his faith and his love, which he bestows upon sinners. And he says it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, we would say today. Acceptation was what was used earlier. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And of course Luke 15 with the story of the prodigal son is a tremendous example of that. He hadn't done anything by his works except waste his father's money and wreck his own life and health, and got himself into a terrible situation. But the Lord Jesus comes into the world to save sinners. And then he says, of whom I am chief. He probably was not the chiefest of any sinner that ever lived. And just to see how wonderful the Lord is in his grace of saving sinners, changing their lives. Think of how many scripture writers were great sinners. Think of David with his adultery and his murder. Think of Paul with his murder and opposition to Christ. Think of Peter with his arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ. All these are gospel writers. The faith of the Lord deals in a wonderful way with men who are sinners, were sinners till he changed them. and remain sinners to a point, but they're covered by his blood. Every one of them is pardoned in his sight and in the sight of the Lord. So what does Paul mean when he says, I am chief of sinners? Well, the word in Greek is the word meaning first. And it comes again in verse 16. But I think here it means preeminent. I am preeminent among sinners. This faith that's worked in my heart has to be of an absolutely maximum extent to do what it's done in me. But of course, everybody who's saved has the ability to say, I'm the chief of sinners. Because I did this, because I did that, because I was like this. And if God had wanted to lead me to it, I'd have never turned to him. If God had wanted to lead me to it, I would have got into worse trouble and I certainly would never have been saved. But I was a preeminent sinner in the sight of God, even as Paul. But then he says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Now, he says, I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly and in unbelief. But it was the grace of our Lord looking upon such a sinner as I am that was so abundant with faith and love also in Christ that saved me. But God had a motive. I think this is really good. God had a motive. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Well, what cause? That in me is that word first again. Same word as chief in the previous verse. Same word in the Greek. That in me preeminently. But he was perhaps the most wonderful of the preachers of the apostles. But he says that in me, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now, what does all that mean? Well, the Lord had a motive. And that motive would be that we would be a pattern to other unbelievers. That what we'd experience in our heart would be in a very similar way be experienced in other hearts. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. What was the main thing in this pattern? It was that the Lord God is long-suffering. Years and years and years we went on doing this. Years and years and years we got worse in doing this. We didn't improve all the years. And when he'd given us our brains, our hands, our sight, our hearing, we acted as if that was just automatically our due. How long-suffering has God been with our sins? He didn't get angry the first time we ever sinned. He wasn't the sort of teacher who said, I told you that before, you should have remembered. He was full of long suffering. And now Paul, in all his ministry, in being stoned, in being shipwrecked, in being laid in wait for, the Jews wanting to murder him and all sorts of things. Long suffering. I obtained mercy. That in me, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. So when we witness with patience, even to the most dreadful of sinners. Paul's a pattern. We are to be patterns. Because of what we've been through and known, that others too might need to be dealt with in the same way as we dealt with. And we're long-suffering, and we're patient, and we preach the gospel to their hearts, and we give a good Christian witness. But it's wonderful. Who's the pattern for? It's a pattern to those who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. As Christians, we deal with the greatest momentous things. Life everlasting. A life without sin, a life without pain, a life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people, we've been saved wonderfully, and the Lord's been full of grace and mercy to us, and we've been made a pattern. And the people we are a pattern to, those the Lord Jesus Christ is doing the same things for. Oh, they're in their different place in their life, different age, different culture, whatever. But they are sinners. And the Lord is being long-suffering with them. And we may say how long-suffering the Lord has been with us. And we may act in a long-suffering way towards them. But the aim of it all is to create those who should believe on Christ to life everlasting. The gospel is the most wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's certainly true that we do things ignorantly and in unbelief, but that's no excuse. But the Lord has mercy when he sees our wretched condition. The grace of our Lord is exceeding abundant with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And then we're to be a pattern to those who shall be saved, to those who should go through a similar experience, but the same experience of believing the gospel. In our day, these things, like in Paul's day, like in every time till the Lord returns, these things are absolutely crucial. And we're called, we have a name, a purpose in life, to be a pattern, considering what the Lord has done with us in the way of long suffering, to be a pattern to those who also will believe, like we've believed, but we must be to them a good example. May the Lord's mercy and grace be upon us all, whatever we've done, whatever we've been. Amen.